I thought it was kind of funny. We're having a fellowship meal here in a little bit. I'm going to talk to you about fasting. Good. Yeah, you don't have to fast today. I will take Phil's word on it that the food he has sampled is good. And I've heard something about some tomato pies over there I'm interested in. And so, I won't be fasting today, just so you know. However, if I share with you today what some things. And not only that, you know, unless you live in a cave somewhere and you're not part of society, you know that religion has taught us that 40 days out, what do? It's called Lent. I've never practiced it. I don't preach it. Because religion has taught us to give up something, right? That's what fasting is. Give it up. I know people that are giving up meat. Why? That's not real fasting. Well, I gave up Cheetos. Jesus gave his life. And you're giving up Cheetos. See, we've got an skewed version of what fasting really is. Religion keeps telling, oh, you need to fast, you need to fast, you need to fast. Yeah, fasting is not a bad thing. Do not get me wrong. It is a good thing if God has ordained that fast. First off, Jesus taught us that if you're going to fast, wash your face. Don't go putting muddy marks on it. Amen. As a matter of fact, he even said, anoint your head. Put on some cologne, some deodorant. Fasting should not be equated to not bathing. And if it is, you will be called to a fast in the wilderness. He said, don't let it be seen on your face. So many people, I know, I'm fasting this right now. Why'd you tell me? I don't care. The reality is, fasting is to be seen by God and God alone. I've known people, oh, I'm fasting. Pray for me, brother. I ain't praying for you. You're supposed to be praying right now. See, here's the reality of what fasting is supposed to be. It's a total fast. Well, that's what we've called it today. That's why I say it's an skewed version of what fasting really is. And I've even been in error in teaching this. Well, you can fast TV. Do you understand what a real fast is? It's everything. That's comfort. You don't even get to wear cotton underwear. Sackcloth. And if you don't know what that is, it's a burlap bag. Feel free to rub that up against your bare skin and tell me how long you really are going to be happy. Anytime there was fasting, it was included with wearing that. You didn't watch TV. You didn't go sit with your friends around and play cards. You didn't go shoot the bull. You didn't go do anything fun. You know what you're supposed to be doing? Praying. This is why fasting has become just such a cliched thing. Well, I'm losing some weight. You're fasting for weight loss. You're not fasting to draw yourself closer to God because you're no longer praying for your country. You're no longer praying for your brothers and sisters. I want to read something. Got to get fast forward here. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You're not supposed to have pleasure. Even Paul said, the only time a husband and wife should separate in the bonds of sexuality is for fasting. Which again, he goes to point out that sex is also for pleasure, not just procreation. In fact, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. The people who work for you, you take it out on them. How many of you get a little cranky? We have a new word for that, right? It's called hangry. I'm a little hangry. You're just being a jerk. The reality is we take it out on other people. You just have to forgive me. No, you are the one who now has to step up and man up and be the adult and say, you know what? I didn't treat you right. Not you have to forgive me. That is so narcissistic. You have to do that. You don't have to treat them bad. It's not you who gets to treat other people bad and they have to forgive you because you're fasting. Fasting, you're supposed to be drawing closer to God, not acting like the devil. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate. They reference actually 1 Kings 21 verse 9 in here, in which this man Naboth, Ahab and Jezebel want his vineyard because it's adjacent to the palace. Ahab says, "Give me your, sell me your vineyard so I can have a vegetable garden." How stupid is that? Vegetable garden can be grown in between the sidewalk. A vineyard takes years to develop. And Naboth says, "Why should I give you the inheritance of my fathers?" Jezebel comes up with a scheme, and they call for a fast. And they place him in a seat of high recognition, and they place two thieving, lying, Bible calls them scoundrels. I'll never call anybody a scoundrel again, because these men brought blasphemous charges against Naboth, and he was killed for it. And you wonder why Jezebel and Ahab died the way they died. Anyhow, he said, "You will not fast." Let me go back. "And to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high." People like to gather on the street corners and they like to pray. Oh, Lord, Jesus said, don't be like them. Be like this man over here who's humble and contrite. Isaiah 66, God said, "These are the ones my heart is turned towards, those who are contrite, they're broken." They're humble is what it means. They aren't the ones on the street going, "Hear me now, thus saith the Lord." They're the people of God who walk down the street praying for you, praying for our children in schools, praying for our leaders. Whether you agree with them or not, the Bible doesn't say you have to agree. It doesn't say you have to agree with me. However, I'm going to point out, if I show you word, it's not me saying it. "You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high." Is it a fast that I have chosen? What is a fast? It's you giving up something, right? You're sacrificing. If God tells you to fast sweets, it's primarily because you're probably about pre-diabetic. Okay? Well, he just told me to fast that, so what do? You overload on something else. God tells me to fast meat. Did God tell you to fast meat? What's it doing? You're not spending, you're still eating. You're not giving up anything. But yet 1 Samuel 15:22, God had showed this to Samuel. "I don't desire sacrifice. I want obedience. That's all I want." Our fasting really isn't fasting. If you're going to fast today, you fast, you get off your computer, stay off your phone, turn off the music, turn off the preaching. "Oh, but brother, I don't care." You're entertaining yourself. Do you understand? You have a book. Does anybody not have a physical Bible in here? Good. I have a bunch of them. They're impossible to read unless you have lenses this thick. But you have that book. Sit down and read that book. You know why? Because I know what it's like to sit there and, oh, yeah, yeah. And I start looking at something. Oh, hey, look what's on sale. Pew! I'm off of what I was doing. I start thinking about other things. I'm no longer focused on what God wanted me to. In my Bible, all I'm looking at is the Word. I may have references. Oh, yeah, that puts me there. How do you know I found... That's how I found out about 1 Kings. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You start running that. That's studying. That's hearing from the Word of God. That is getting the Word in you so that you know. Well, brother, no, you don't need to hear people preaching if you're fasting. You need the Word of God. Nowhere does it say you need to hear people preaching. Turn the TV off, turn your radios off, turn your podcasts off, and get in the Bible. You're still getting somewhat of somebody else's opinion. How about getting God's opinion on it? That's fasting. So many people, the people who are pushing fasting have written a book. Do you ever notice that? The people who push praying for an hour, they wrote a book. People teaching you about being healthy and eating, they wrote a book. God wants you to draw near to him. You know what he did? He wrote a book. He wants you to read his book, not somebody else's interpretation of his book. Read his book. God told the prophet, I don't want you to sacrifice. Oh, but Jesus, I'd give this up. I remember Angela years ago, we lived here in town and we just started a church, and she's like, Lord God, I'll move back into a single wide trailer if you want me to. He said, honey, I ain't asking you to do that. You give up everything, you'll sacrifice, but will you prosper for me? We don't want to really succeed. Well, oh, but God, I got to give it up. He said, I gave it to you. If I call you to fast, it's a straight up fast. You give up sex. You give up chocolate. You give up cartoons. You give up video games. You give up social media. You give up your favorite blogs, vlogs, and what podcasts and whatever else. And you zero in and you focus on God. Turn off the music. Sometimes music with just music. It's good for the soul. But sometimes you got to turn that off. Why? Because next thing you know, you'll hear a song. I got these nice piano things when I'm sitting in my chair getting a knot rubbed out of it. And I play it, and I'm trying to relax. Next thing you know, I know that song. I'm singing that song. It's like, oh, okay. A song I don't know, I can relax. But sometimes you just got to turn it off. And talk to God. My biggest pet peeve is a phone at the dinner table. My kids, I had to tell them one time, I said, this is it. No more cell phones. This is my table. I'm only going to be here so many years. I'm alive. That's not. One day I'm going to be gone and you're going to be sitting there. Oh, I wish we could talk to Dad. He sat there for 20 years and you wanted to look at your phone. That's my biggest pet peeve. I don't care where I'm at. If we're playing a game at the table, that's one thing. We're eating table or eating and somebody says, oh, here, watch a stupid video. Do you know how bad I want to throw something at them, bounce their head off the table? Your father is alive. He doesn't want to watch some stupid monkey drag a baby monkey across the floor. Y'all know what I'm talking about, whatever. He's in Japan. Watch this raccoon. What's so funny about it? Oh, here, I got a joke to tell you. Do you know how racist and sexist that joke is? And everybody kind of laughs because they don't want to tell the guy, you're a jackass. You need to grow up. But religion won't let us. All we need to keep the peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, didn't he? Am I misquoting the scripture? No, I am not. He said, I come to bring a sword, a mighty sword. Father will be against son for him. But when we're supposed to believe like each other, no, your racist tyrants are not acceptable. Hating somebody because of the color of their skin is absolutely wrong. And Jesus and God, the Old Testament doesn't even back it. But not allowing demonic oppression in is a totally different deal. God was always against it. We want to fast and pray for our country. Are we really fasting for it? Are we really praying for it? People putting on scriptures here, left, right. I mean, I got people all over. I don't care. You're one, now you're going legalist. But two, you're no longer looking at what God said. Fasting If Trisha's fasting, I should never see a difference of her right now and when she's fasting. And I've seen her in work clothes. There's a difference. You know it. Same thing with my wife. It's like, whoa, hey, what happened to that cutie I saw earlier? You know, anyhow. Is it a fast that I have chosen for a day for a man to afflict his soul? That's all you're doing is afflicting yourself. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to wear sackcloth? No more cotton, no more soft cotton against my skin. I gotta wear this pathetic burlap sack. My military guys, it's the equivalent of wrapping up with your wool blanket. I can't stand wool blankets. Even thinking about it makes me itch. And to spread out sackcloth and ashes, would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. God called it a fast. These are God's words. These are not the words of anybody else interpreting anything. This is Isaiah bringing forth the word of God to the house of Israel, and which we can also glean much wisdom from. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. What's he saying? I desire obedience over your sacrifice. Why Jesus stood up and said, for I've been sent to heal the sick, to release the captive. All this is right here. To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? This is starting to sound like a lot of things you're supposed to do. Well, Pastor, we don't have a food shelter. No, but we provide money that provides food for one. We support homeless ministries in Marion. Go over and volunteer. There are several of them over there. Well, I ain't got time. If you got time to throw a complaint at me, you got time to go volunteer to help somebody. Well, how about clothing the naked? Well, we give brand new clothes and money to a clothing shelter. Well, brother, I don't think they need brand new clothes. Well, I don't really care what you believe. Somebody's self-esteem sometimes is attached to that piece of clothing. And having been poor, it stinks. When somebody says, oh no, you'll take what I give you because it's what I'm giving you. After my dad got hurt, I had to wear hand-me-downs from a cousin 2 years younger than me. He's this tall now, by the way. He was always bigger. I think he came out bigger than me. But I wore green jeans, man. They weren't cool. I had two pair of green jeans, two pair of brown corduroy jeans or pants. Corduroy had been out for 2 years. And those things were so tight at that point. Mom didn't realize how much I was growing. It's like. So just a little bit of self-esteem. You know, building somebody's self-esteem does not hurt. I heard people say, well, I ain't going to brag on them because they'll get a big head. Come here. I'm going to show you what a big head is. It's this up the side of your noggin. Telling your children they're good, they're doing a good job. Telling somebody they're doing a good job will never give them a big head. Ever. It's not how it works. Telling somebody who's never done anything that they're doing a good job will give them a big head. That's why we have some of the problems we have. And you know what happens? I think we were talking about this yesterday at lunch or at breakfast. Easy times. Why was the greatest generation the greatest generation? They just come through the oppression. And they realized, ain't nobody going to stand up for us if we don't. Somebody stood up. They did it. And from that point on, if you've ever paid attention, Korea, Vietnam, every war thereafter never had an ultimate goal. And we killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of young men and women. We started creating weak men, weak women. The feminist movement came in. Well, we're empowering women. I knew some tough women. I knew women that they could hang with a man. And we ain't got to fight. Listen, you need to understand, it ain't about fighting. It ain't about the physical. There are a few women, I've watched them. They put the wallop on a few guys. It ain't about that. See, properly trained men will love their wives as themselves. Not abuse them. Not treat them different. That's my body. I'm not going to hit it. I'm not going to slap it. That's my body. God put me there to protect her. Did you say you'd wake up? Oh, maybe in a dream. I'm going to come over here, brother. The fact that she's up and mobile. Anyhow, I got off track. And to bring your house, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. Now, I get it. Things are a little bit different, that society and this society. There's 8 billion people on this planet now, and we honestly have no idea how many were then. But what are you doing? What are you doing to help somebody? Well, brother, you know, I need to be spiritually. This is how you get your foot in the door to get the spiritual matters dealt with. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you actually care. That's been my biggest pet problem with some of the body of Christ is we want to preach to you about Jesus. Hallelujah, we're gonna preach to you today. That's not what witnessing is. He said, I'll give you the power to witness. A witness is, let's say I'm on trial. They say, Matt, do you know Art? Yeah. Would you be a character witness? Yeah, he's a character. What he's going to say about me, what he knows about me, what I've done, how I've treated him, is the witness. You see, it's not telling people, John 3:16, Romans 8:28, Romans 3:23, 6:26. Let's go down the Romans road, amen? It's a great strategy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of it. We've turned the word of God into just as much of a religious thing instead of saying, you know, instead of listening and saying, hey, you know, I was there once. And this is what Jesus helped me through. At the funeral I did last week, I got to share. I said, you know, because I knew some things that were going on inside the family. I got to share what Jesus did for me. I said, I had anger. And I was hiding it. And God showed it to me that I had to get rid of it. But I was covering it. I said, I never realized I was that angry. And then talked to a few people and said, oh yeah, we could see it. Like, well, maybe I didn't hide it. But you see, that's what God is calling a fast, is to tell people. Help the poor. Love the unlovable. Hey, you know, they don't look quite like me. They don't smell like me. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe whatever you've been sticking up your nose is all you're smelling, but the rest of us can smell something else. When you see the naked, that you cover him. Are you covering your brother and sister, or are you exposing them? Am I my brother's keeper? God's roundabout answer was, you absolutely, positively are your brother's keeper. If something happens to Adam, Matt, it's not my job to go expose him. It's my job to cover him, to protect him. He's my brother. But that's not what we do. Just last week, we've had, I know of at least two preachers that had to step down. Well, I believe God goes to a certain point. He's trying to tell you. And then it's got to be exposed. But what do? We get people on there, oh, I'm a watcher on the wall. It's not a position. Don't know why. I'm the watchdog. Again, not a position. The fivefold ministry is supposed to be self-governing. They look over each other. That's why I don't have a problem telling another preacher, that's not scripture, that's your opinion. That's an abuse of the Holy Spirit. That's an abuse of the gift of God. Well, brothers, you need to be careful there. God's anointed. What do you think I am? What do you think I am? I agree with that. You need to be very careful. Because if you are not in that position, understand something. You bring the judgment. Even Hebrews says that God will judge those of us in those five positions harder than all the rest of you. That was a section of scripture I did not know too much about when I said yes. What do you mean? But guess what happens? You bring that judgment into your life. And I pray you don't. I pray God's mercy on you. But understand something. It's our job to cover our brother or sister. If we see somebody that needs a coat, feel free to take your $500 coat off and give it to them. Well, I'll be cold. Love will warm you. How about you trust God? That you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall break forth. Yours. You believe it for healing. You believe it for emotional healing. You believe it for deliverance. You believe it for chains to be broken, bonds to be broken. Do what God said to do. Quit thinking you're called to be there. You don't want there. There's days I don't want there. Everybody wants to be there. You better be careful. Everybody runs around saying they're a prophet from the Lord now. Understand something. We were supposed to judge every word that came out of a prophet's mouth. And one prophecy falls to the ground. You are labeled a false prophet. Guess what they did to them in the Old Testament? They stoned them. That's why I got a lot of men of God in my life that I've seen over the years, and some of them, oh, I've got prophecies from the Lord. They made them so obscure they could never be confirmed nor denied. Places you can never find the answer. If you're giving me a prophecy for this year, I had better be able to see the result. After 2 years, I'm like, Holy Spirit said, how do you know? I don't. You're a good man of God. I do believe that. But when we feel that we have to step over, God has used me in a couple occasions to give a word of prophecy to somebody, a word to them. And if those words had not, if God had not moved on that, I would have stepped down. That's how it was. I don't talk that just because, he's talking a big talk. Listen, for a year, I was walking a tightrope because I told them they were going to have a baby next year. They'd been trying. It wasn't happening. Ain't nothing I can do about it. and they had a baby. Thank you, Jesus. It was you, not wishful thinking. And your your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. You aren't going to have to tell people who you are. You aren't going to have to tell people you're a Christian. They're going to know. First off, your expression is going to change. The confidence you have in God is going to change. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. We don't ever think about that, do we? I'm going forth in the power of the Lord. What about behind me? You never think about the rear flank, do you? Until somebody teaches you about the rear flank. You know what we waited for in an ambush? Where we could see the rear flank. We had them. And when they got to a certain point, we lit them up. That's what the devil does. But guess what? He says, and the glory of God shall be your rear guard. I don't, honestly, we'd say, oh, the glory, I see the glory of God. I don't think any of us have really seen the glory of God. Because, one, we can't look at God, period. It's going to be so powerful that the enemy cannot stand against you. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Are you wondering where God's been? Have you done the simple things he's asked of you? These are things we're all supposed to do. We have people, you know, I bless the people who've worked with a heartbeat, because you know what? I can't imagine being a 14, 15-year-old girl finding out you're pregnant. Your boyfriend just took off because he's a coward. But you know what? He probably doesn't have a good man in his life either. So I can't throw all the stones at him, because the last time I checked, it took two. But for him to run off, he probably got scared too. If he's 15 years old, I can't imagine being 15 years old and find out I'm going to be a daddy. I mean, I was excited when I was 25. But I was still a little hesitant. Let's be honest, guys, right? What do you mean I'm going to be responsible for this little pooping machine? And what do you mean it's going to be 30 years before my wife and I have the house to ourselves again? Yes. They moved out last night. I bless them because they do something. Why? Because there's a lot of young women who are finding themselves in that situation. Why? Because we teach that sex is love. We call it making love. You don't even have to be in love to kiss. It's not making love, it's having sex. It usually does start out with a lot of kissing because of affection, but let's be real, it's not a prerequisite. So we have to think about them. Grief counselors, there are people who are in, they're made up like that. God gives this woman right here words that he doesn't give me. Words of compassion during this time. I can preach the word of God. I can bring you hope. And I can tell you how my heart is breaking. Especially, you know, if I'm close to the family. But the reality is, I don't have the words she has. If you get a card from us and it's beautiful words, it's her. Thinking of you, if you get a card from us, period, it's her. Let's just get that out there, right, guys? Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the yoke represents that which you're trying to carry. Are you carrying something God didn't ask you to? Well, God opened this opportunity. Not every door is opened by God. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Oh, well, God, I don't tell dirty jokes. I don't say nasty things. No, but you talked about the man of God like you were his boss. You dared, as David put it, to touch God's anointed. Saul wasn't God's picked or chosen, but he was anointed through Samuel. And the man that took credit for his death, thinking, I'm going to get a reward. He got one, all right. Him and his whole family were destroyed. If you extend your soul to the hungry, your very being, not just physically hungry, but the spiritually hungry. You don't have to. Listen, the new revival, the revival that's really going to change the world is one-on-one. That's how it's going to work the best. Why? Because there's greedy men and women in this world. I was talking to a brother the other day, and we were just talking about all the revivals and stuff. And we were talking about the one down there in Kentucky. Was it 2 years ago or so? They had a revival, man. People were just getting saved. This was out of college. They started getting saved, and they're baptizing people. Next thing you know, here come the names. And the man who was in charge of it said, nope, we're not having a three-ring circus. It's done. People said, he squelched the power of God. No, he didn't. He stopped the greed. Revival is not about greed. It's not about making money. As a matter of fact, I think any preacher preaching a revival should do it for free. Oh. Amen. You missed a good chance. I'll say amen. Why? Because they're getting paid from their other ministry. Every ministry you give into with every subset, they are getting paid from that. They aren't doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it. They're also getting paid. Well, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Your labor is being paid here. Knock off the nonsense. We're not doing this for the glory of God. We're doing it for the glory of man. You want to take food to somebody? Go to the grocery store. Get you a box and you just start putting canned food in there. And then you go over to the meat section and you buy them some good meat. Don't buy them those chicken breasts that have been frozen for 6 months. They open up a bag and they're about this big and they're white because they're frostbite. God tells you to take some food to somebody, take some. I've shared this testimony before, but I'll share this because they didn't tell me. There was a minister in Crestline. Had a church. The church wanted to keep him humble. I ain't going to pay you a little bit. We got you a house. You figure the rest of it out. He's like, I'm raising my family. I'm a full-time minister, and if it weren't for the fact that that's being paid by the church, we couldn't afford to live there. We ain't got no money for food, though. And if it weren't for the fact I can walk to the church, I wouldn't have money for gas. And he told me, because he found out who I was over at Pastor Dosek's. And he said, your mom and dad showed up at 11:30 at night with 5 bags of groceries. He said, we didn't have one can of food in the house. And my kids were hungry. He said, they showed up. And I asked mom and dad about that. And he said, oh yeah, we just God said, take Brother Rossler some food. He said, we just went through there and started pulling out food and putting it in the bags. And we headed out that way. He said, I was giving up on God. I was giving up on mankind. But he said, that one act of obedience. That doesn't mean we always hit everything right. Understand that. But he said, that one act of obedience meant more to me than anything I could have done. That man is still preaching the gospel. Guess what? That man is also still using that example to other people about being obedient, because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you mean to somebody else. Well, Jesus, I want revival. Hallelujah. I need to pray in tongues for 10 hours. Oh, Lord, I need to cast out demons. I need to chew the right kind of gum. Take your starving neighbor a bag of food. And don't give him the expired crap you bought at the Benton Dent. If it's on your shelf, you can give it to him. If you don't eat it, don't expect somebody else to. That was one thing that always got me too. Like, that's expired. Somebody just went through there, cleaned out. Oh, we don't eat that. We thought you might. What, do I sit outside and howl and bark at the deer running across the field? I'm a dog. But that's the way we treat people. We don't treat people the way we want to be treated. I've told you about the clothing ministry that we help out with. It's primarily for school kids, okay? They actually have to be in kindergarten, I think, up through high school. It's not church related. There's no church that does it. And last I knew, we were the only church that helps them. Yeah, brother, I think we need to preach the gospel. I don't quote too many saints, but let me tell you one. There's this saint called Saint Francis of Assisi. It's probably Assisi, but I like Assisi better. He said, preach always. You know the rest of it, don't you? And when necessary, use words. See, we're too much on words now. We preach words. What did Jesus do? He fed people. He healed people. Crazy, isn't it? He did it. The Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. Go figure. Then your light shall dawn in your darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. God's going to bring such glory into your life if you do what he says. He's not asking you to give up chicken for 40 days so that you can go back to chicken. 40 days, you've actually developed a whole new pattern. Give up something that's nasty. Trying to quit smoking? There's one. Trying to give up pop? That's a great one right there. Sugar? It's a great one. But don't do it and say, I'm giving it up to be holy. What you take in doesn't make you holy. Sugar, well, you know, your diabetes might go away. You might start losing, you know, this stuff up in here. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. A lot of watering going on here. And why? Because you obeyed the word of the Lord. Your so-called fasting that we do meant nothing. I fasted for a day. I do that unintentionally. Usually the next morning I'm a pile of goo on the floor though. Matter of fact, Cody and I were working here the other day, and he's like, I don't feel so good. I prayed for him. I said, why don't you go home and lay down? I said, I get like that when I haven't eaten, and my sugar just goes. Whoosh. He called me. He sent me a message. He said, you know, I think what you were on to something. He said, I didn't eat it all yesterday. But you see what happens? And by the way, if you're fasting, I do not recommend physical labor. Because that's what will happen to you. I told him, I said, yeah, I've had times I had to go curl up on the floor somewhere and just wait for about 15 minutes till the sweat stopped. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of streets to dwell in. Folks, God wants that for us as well. He wasn't just stopping with Israel there. This is to go forth. Our fasting should be seen by him, but our fasting should be done in the fact that it's actually doing his will. Stepping out in a new area. I don't know what God's reached out to you to do. But you know what? It's not about you having fun. Do you think being a pastor is fun all the time? My joy is when I get up here and I preach the word of the Lord. Because I get looks all over the place. What you talking about, Willis? Hallelujah. Some of you want to crucify me. Some of you want to pat me on the back. And Johnny wants to slap me upside the head. Between him and Phil. Your joy is not always going to come in that exact moment. Your joy is going to come on the other side. Iran, those people have been fighting. And in the last several months, I think they said about 40,000 of them have been killed trying to get their freedom. Praise God for President Trump. Now there's a set of stones. I just pray that he continues to listen to God. That is my prayer. Because the Iranian people, some of them love God too. They're your brothers and sisters. Well, I don't think we should. I'll tell you what, if God told me to take my weapon and go, he's asking for the geriatric army at that point, but I'm like, you know what? I know what he's going to do. He's going to send to the old guys because they're too young or they're too old to run. They'll just stand and fight. But I'll do what I have to do. Oh, wait a minute. I am doing what I have to do. Pray, read your Bible, and obey God. That's what that entire book is about. Getting closer to God. A praise service isn't going to do it. Yeah, I missed the drums. Oh, yeah, there's a fill. Oh, yeah. We'll get it. We will improvise, adapt, and overcome. And when the right time comes, God's going to send somebody that can keep beat. Tim and I were talking back here. Say, yeah, because I ain't going to lie to y'all. I told Tim the first song. I said, well, we just figured out who doesn't have rhythm. There were claps all over the place. Tim's like, yeah, I've never. I said, well, I used to be able to play the drums 35 years ago. I said, but not anymore. God removed all that so I don't get up there and be a show off and be stupid. I always had the desire to play guitar too. God, why didn't you let me rock out, man? I wanted to rock. I wanted to keep you humble, son. Don't be an arrogant twit. If you ever want to know why God's kept you at a certain point, it's because he knows you. Understand this now. If you're going to fast, you fast. But those times that you're supposed to be, that you normally would spend watching TV, eating, reading Calvin and Hobbes, and sex, you pray. If you ain't doing that, you ain't fasting. You're starving yourself. Pray. That's a real fast. It's all of it. Now, I know some of you got medication, got to be taken with food. Milk does the job. Swig some milk. I did a fast over Pastor Dosek for a couple days there, and man, he had all this juice, and it was some expensive stuff, and it was good, but it was just, I mean, he had cases of it. Man, I was hitting that, because I'm like, oh, okay. Day two, must find sustenance. But the reality was, I had access to my computer. Hello, Craigslist. I wasn't fasting. I was still entertaining my soul. I want my soul, as the Bible says, to be restored. I want when it's dark to be light. I want everything around me. You want your situation to change? Start doing what God's telling you. He's going to stretch you. He's going to ask you if things are like, God, I don't have another moment. Yeah, you do. You realize how much time we waste doing stupid things? And where's it at? This precious little thing is number one thief. I'm not saying don't. Social media is not evil. If we don't have a godly influence there, guess who does have an influence? And I don't put a whole lot out there, but I know who I can pray for. Well, yeah, Pastor, you seem to be an awful, you know, you don't want to get out there. Understand something. It's not the person you can see you got to worry about. It's the one you can't. It's the person who's praying behind the scenes. And understand, in this group, in this church, if you put a prayer request on there and I put done or thumbs up, understand, I just prayed for you. Sometimes God's had me send a prayer, you know, to the person, type it out. Other times, I pray. But if I tell you I prayed for you, I prayed for you. Because I have confidence in my God. He's a great God. He's a good God. And above all that, he's a good Father. And I'm going to tell you something. This was something, God, I will wrap up with this, I promise. Look, I think most of us are staying anyhow, so I got you. I got you. Just give me a couple minutes, okay? I've often talked about we are all the body. The Church of Christ, they're part of the body. The Baptist Church, they're part of the body. We're all part of the body. We have jobs, okay? My heart and my brain do not do the same job. But there's other parts of the body that we don't think about. Oh, Lord, but I want to be the thumb. I want to be the reason you can hold on to something. I want to be an eyeball. I want to be an ear so I can hear, an eye so I can see. I asked God, I said, God, you told me years ago you'd show me more about who we are. He showed me the other day. We're white blood cells. Do you know what the white blood cell does? It protects the body. Do you know how many of these churches around here, we've prayed for them. We didn't pray against them. We didn't try to take people from them. They've gone through some stuff. And we got together and we prayed. Do you know what happens? You get stuck and then white blood cells, they go right to that wound for the sake of the body. Not for their sake, for the sake of the entire body. And we need to remember that. That's what we are. We're the white blood cells. And there's others. Well, we want to be massive. No, you don't. Bigger the target, the more shots you're getting. When you're a white blood cell, you're powerful. And you need to understand what you do. Well, you know, God's got some things going on. Trust me. Been at it for almost 25 years. He's doing some things. He's growing in some people. But our job is the whole body. We're not going to say, well, we're going to be our own little thing here. No. We are part of the body. It's one body. It's what the Bible teaches. One body. God loves the Church of Christ as much as he does us. He loves the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church. Guess what? He also loves the Church of Satan. He loves them. He doesn't back them, but he loves them. That's why we need to pray. There's so much going on in this world. God loves the Hindus that are moving in. That worship demons. He loves the Muslims. It's our job to pray and intercede for them. Because why? Because without Christ, there's people that don't understand. Jesus died for them too. I ain't accepting their garbage. I'll just tell you that much right now. Solomon proved that that's a bad idea. Israel proved that was a really bad idea. But I pray for them to get the reality. Well, I just still don't see about Iran, Pastor. The church in Iran, the body, your brothers and sisters have been praying for 47 years for somebody to do more than words. Understand. We don't know everything. I don't know. Jesus might show up tomorrow morning. You might be walking out in your yard and you see somebody dead coming up out of the ground. That's what the Bible says. The dead in Christ go first. Don't be near a cemetery. You won't freak out. Praise God. All right, let's stand. And if you are going to fast, here, husbands and wives, my wife, I'll tell you right now, she fasts 100 times more than I do. She does. She says, I'm going to fast today. Is that okay with you? You know why she's asking? You don't have plans later tonight, do you? Because that's what the Bible teaches. If you're going to fast, nobody else needs to know it. And listen, folks, hear me help you out. If somebody says they don't want something, they don't want that drink, they don't want that food, quit pushing it. For crying out loud, that's your ego. Oh, you got to have it. You got it. Just the way I am, you got to have it. No, I don't want it. Do you realize? I'm trying to fast. Now I have to tell you. No, thank you. Okay. Listen to the Holy Spirit saying, they're fasting. Otherwise, I'd be all over that chocolate silk pie. So I'm glad we got pie next door. Listen to the Holy Spirit and quit making it about you. Fasting is not about you. I just showed you. It's about somebody else. Always about somebody else. And God said, then I'll do all this stuff for you. You having a problem breaking through? Everybody said, oh, if you just starve yourself, you fast and you pray, you'll break through. What did God just tell the people of Israel? This is the fast I want. I want you to pray for those who are bound in the chains. You know, you got a loved one or a neighbor or somebody that's got an addiction? Pray for them. Pray for them. You know somebody who's struggling spiritually? Pray for them. Start interceding for them. Ask God, is there anything I need to do? Talk to them. You don't need to preach. Sometimes you just need to listen. I've said it once, I'll say it again. You got two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen twice as much as you speak. And listen to the Holy Spirit when he tells you to shut up. Amen? Because he just told me shut up. All right, I'm going to bless the food here as well. There's plenty of food. Please feel free. I think they're getting stuff around right now. Be respectful. Prefer somebody else. Amen? Help. If somebody needs a hand, give them a hand. But we're pretty good at that here. Why? Because you're good people. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for your word. Lord, we thank you that you show us in your word that it's about obedience and not about us actually sacrificing. Because, Father, we know there is no greater sacrifice than what you gave up. Lord, help us all now to receive that power from understanding your word and for acting out in it and moving forward. Lord, I thank you that you're opening the doors. You're opening our eyes to pray for people. You're opening our ears to hear what they're really saying. Father, now we're putting our egos away. We're not going to put them on the back burner. We're going to put them away. Lord, this is about you. Father, may they see, when the world and other believers see us, may they see you. Now, Father, I thank you for the food we're about to eat. Lord God, I bless it. I ask, Father, that you move mightily in our midst today of this fellowship. Lord, may it be sweet. Stir the love, as your word says, Father, in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen.